actually, when we consider observing Ekadasi, it's meant to be Nirjala Ekadasi. Ekadasi doesn't really, observing Ekadasi doesn't just mean fasting from grains and beans. Observing Ekadasi, as it has been described in Hari Bhakti Vilas, observing Ekadasi means fasting. And fasting means fasting. No eating. No drinking. Of course, Srila Prabhupada made things very easy for us, seeing our inability. Prabhupada made it easy for us. That is, Prabhupada just wanted us to abstain from grains and beans in order to properly understand what it means to observe Ekadasi. We have to go back to the background of Ekadasi. How many of you know the story or the incidents of Ekadasi? How Ekadasi came to be? Anyway, so many of you know and some of you do not. So anyway, it's always good to remember these auspicious incidences. When Krishna created this material nature, along with this creation, two things automatically appeared. One is piety and the other is sin. The good actions are piety, pious activities, and wrong actions are sinful activities. As a result of pious activities, one enjoy in this world, and as a result of sinful activities, one suffers in this material nature. And in the broader sense, everything is personified. In spiritual sky, everyone is a person. Everything is a person. In the spiritual sky, even a speck of dust is a person. In the spiritual sky, even a microphone is a person. In the spiritual sky, Krishna's, as you know, Krishna's disc is a person, Sudarshan. Krishna's mace is a person. In the spiritual sky, everything is personal. Everything is spiritual. Spiritual means personal. Persons. There is nothing material in the spiritual sky. There is nothing inert. Everything is conscious, and conscious means person. So similarly, in Krishna's creation also, whatever appears is also a person. So sin is a person. And sin's body is made of, what is sin's body made of? Sin's body is made of all kinds of sinful activities. All kinds of sinful activities are actually the body of sin. And he is a person. So when people started to commit sinful activities, what happens when, in this age, at this point in time, what is the condition of Mr. Sin personified? He's very healthy and strong. is very healthy and strong because people are committing so many sinful activities. So he is becoming stronger and stronger. And but as a what is the result of those sinful activities? The result of sinful activities is suffering. And who causes, who punishes, who determines those reactions of sinful activities? Who is the judge?
Jamaraj.
Judge is Jamaraj. Yeah, the supreme judge. And so one day Krishna went to the abode of Jamaraj. The question arises, why did Krishna go to the abode of Jamaraj? Because Jamaraj is one of the Mahajans. There are 12 Mahajans and out of them, Jamaraj is one. He is the one who is actually saying this verse. Sayambhur Narada Sambhu Kapila Kumara Manu Pralhada Janaka Bhishma Vayashati Balir Vayam. The Sanskrit word Vayam means we, plural number, we are, we all are the Mahajans. So who is saying it? Who is that person who is saying we? The 12th one, there are mentions of 11. And who is the 12th one?
Jamaraj.
So Jamaraj is a Mahajan. And that is actually a very wonderful thing to remember and derive a lot of inspiration from or assurance from that Jamaraj is a Vaishnava. Jamaraj is a devotee. So just in case we have to go to the abode of Jamaraj, we have nothing to worry about. If by chance we end up there, and if we get the darshan of Jamaraj, what will be our natural reaction? Bancha kalpataru manushya kripasindhum vaivacha patitanam pavanibhyam vaishnavibhyo namo. And then Jamaraj, what will he do? He'll also say, Bancha kalpataru manushya. So this is how all auspicious Krishna consciousness is. In Krishna consciousness, there is no room for inauspiciousness. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Nahi kallana krit kashchit durgatin tato gachit. One who has taken this auspicious path of Krishna consciousness, no inauspiciousness will ever come to him. Durgati, no undesirable, inauspicious, distressful things will come to him because he has accepted the path of auspiciousness. So we can see what is the greatest fear that one may have. The Jamadutas will come and take him to Jamaraj. So when a devotee is taken, even if he is taken to Jamaraj, what will be his reaction? With folded hands, he will be expressing his joy in meeting this pure devotee of the Lord. That so fortunate I am that I got to see you. I got your darshan. Do whatever you want to do. I have been very, very fallen. I have been very sinful. I have been very degraded all my life. So if you want to punish, fine, it's all right. But at least I got to see you. Now tell me, please, how can I develop my attachment to Krishna? Won't that be the real, natural reaction of a devotee if he gets to see Jamaraj? Just like if we get to see Narad Muni now, how will you feel? If we get to see Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, now how will you feel? We'll feel that our life has achieved its ultimate perfection. Isn't it? So anyway, Krishna went to Jamaraj's abode because Jamraj is a pure devotee of Krishna.
He is a Mahajan.
And so at one time Krishna heard the sound of shrieking and crying and wailing and sobbing is coming from the southern direction. So Krishna asked, why these people are crying in this way? Why is the sound?
Jamraj.
Then Jamraj said, well, these are the sinful people who are being punished according to their sinful reactions. Then Krishna felt that these are my children. These are my creation. They are suffering, so I must do something that they can be free from their suffering. So right there, Jamraj created this personality, Ekadasi. That day, particular day, specific day was the 11th day of the lunar calculation. Ekadasi means 11th. 11th Ekadasi. The 11th day of the lunar calculation. The moon's movement is like, it goes from one kala to 15th. 15th kala, it's full moon. And then it begins to wane. Waxing period and waning. Then it begins to wane. So there also, it begins from that time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 11. 11th day of the waxing period and 11th day of the waning period of the moon is the day called Ekadasi. And Krishna created this personality. Who is this personality? A beautiful woman who is endowed with all the divine qualities. She is the mercy personified. She is the personality who wants us to become the recipients of Krishna's mercy. That is the personality of Ekadasi. She is here. Krishna created her just to distribute Krishna consciousness by eliminating everyone's sinful reactions. Elimination of sinful reaction is not the purpose of Ekadasi. To achieve pious activities is not the purpose of observing Ekadasi. The purpose of observing Ekadasi is simply to develop Krishna consciousness. That is why Krishna created Ekadasi. And Krishna made this condition that whoever observes this Ekadasi Vrata, actually those days people were very pious and they could, whenever they observed, they were actually so spiritual, they were so pure that they did not have any difficulty in performing these vratas or abstaining from material indulgences, from mundane indulgences. Like eating, sleeping, these are all mundane indulgences. So these are the impediments in our Krishna consciousness. So the idea is to abstain from all those activities. That is the meaning of observing a vrata. So Ekadasi is meant to be, this particular day is meant to observe this vrata. And Krishna made this condition that if one observes Ekadasi, he'll become free from all his sinful reactions. Just by observing Ekadasi, one can become free from sinful reactions. So people started to observe Ekadasi and they became free from their sinful reactions. But as a result of that, sin personified was in trouble. there is no sin. If there is no sin, what will happen to the personality of sin? He will become non-existent. He will die. So one day Krishna saw that sin personified, completely emaciated, somehow staggering towards him. Practically he was crawling. He doesn't have any strength to even stand on his own feet. So Krishna asked, what happened?
Papa?
What happened? Why are you in such a terrible condition? Then Sin said, Papa Purusha said, my lord, ever since we have created this Ekadasi, people are just observing Ekadasi and becoming free from their sinful reaction. And as a result of that, look at my condition. You are my creator also. It's your responsibility to maintain me. So please do something that I can survive. Then Krishna said, okay. On this day of Ekadasi, all the sins will enter into grains. And whoever takes grains on that day, even though he may not have committed those sins, he will be receiving those sins. Just by taking grains, he will take all the sins. So that is why one of the first considerations is that no grains on the Ekadasi. And in the category also, the beans also come in the same category. Grain, that's why we abstain from grains and beans. So now you can see, just abstaining from grains and beans is not really observing Ekadasi. We may think, oh, I observed Ekadasi. But I didn't take grains or beans, but I had everything else. I have sabudana khichdi. I had paneer and cauliflower sabji and so on and so forth. So that is not actually the real observance of Ekadasi. The real observance of Ekadasi would mean fasting, upavash. Upavash means fasting. And this is called anukalpa. Those who cannot observe the fast, they can take havisha, which is anukalpa, that is fruits or non-grain stuff. So, now, Bhim, as you know, he had a big body and he had the appetite like that of an wolf, That's why another name of Bhim is Brikodar. Brika means a wolf. Yeah. Brika means a wolf and Udar means belly. A wolf's belly, because they're in constant hunger, is very, very full of appetite. So Bhima had that situation. He had a very powerful appetite. And as a result of that, he could not actually fast. Fasting was impossible for Bhima. So one day Bhima asked Vasudev, look, this is my condition, I am supposed to observe Ekadasi, but I can't. So what should I do? So Vasudev told Bhima, look, Bhima, just one day every year you observe Ekadasi. And if you do that, you'll get the benefit of observing the Ekadasi. All the other, how many?
20.
24. No, I'm sorry, 26 ekadas. 26 or 27. You just observe one ekadasi and you'll get the benefit of all observing all the ekadasi. 26 ekadasi. And so that is why this is called Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi. Pandava, who is this Pandava here? This Pandava is not Yudhishthira or Arjuna. This Pandava is specifically the Madhyam Pandava, second Pandava, Bhima. And he is meant to observe this. I mean, for his sake, Krishna created this very specific ekadasi. So by observing this ekadasi, we actually derive the benefit of all the ekadasi. So as much as we can, we should try. This age is very fallen. And as a result of that, the living entities in this age are also very weak. In Satya Yuga, the kind of qualities that people had, we cannot even imagine. Like, consider, in Satya Yuga, Hiranyakashipu was performing his austerity. Just standing on one leg for so many years, his whole body got eaten up and so forth. In this age, can we do that? We may try, just consider, like you're trying to observe, trying to become very, very absorbed in your tapasya. And you are not even standing, you cannot stand, you're just sitting on the floor, performing a tapasya. And just one ant comes and bites you. What will happen? You'll immediately get disturbed. And if you see 10 ants are coming, what will happen? You'll jump up and run away from there. But Hiranyakashipu's body was eaten up by the ants. Can you imagine how painful it must have been? But he could tolerate it. Why? Because he was so powerful. Powerful means spiritual. And spiritual means in spiritual consciousness is in the spiritual side, not in the material side. Consciousness was not in the body. The consciousness was in the soul. But with us, the situation has reversed. In the age of Kali, where is our consciousness? Our consciousness is 99.9% is in the body and 0.1%, 0.01% is in the soul, if at all. So obviously we won't be able to perform these vratas as they did in the other ages. And that's why Prabhupada gave us a very simple method. Another thing is, Krishna knows our inability. Like in this respect, we can consider that the father has a few children, and naturally the eldest son is grown up and strong. So this way, more mature they are, stronger they are. But of the children, who is the weakest? Of the children, the youngest one is the weakest. And when that weakest young child becomes sick, what does the father do? What does the father and mother do? They stay up by the bedside of the weakest child who is suffering due to his fever. So the father doesn't expect this weakest, youngest child who is suffering from fever to behave or act like the grown-up eldest child. He knows he is the weakest young one, so father is treats him in a different way. So similarly, we, the inhabitants, the living entities of the age of Kali, we do not have to expect like the people of Satya Yuga or Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga or Treta Yuga. We simply have to behave the way we are. And that's why Krishna gave the holy name. And Prabhupada emphatically pointed out that just chant the holy name. So even if we are not able to observe Ekadasi in the most perfect way, it doesn't matter. What we have to do, what does the youngest suffering child do? All he does is calls out to the father and cries. So all that we have to do is call out to the father. So in our sick condition, when we call out to Krishna, then Krishna becomes extremely merciful. So in this age of Kali, that is the advantage that we have to take. We simply have to chant the holy name. We simply have to call out to Krishna, begging for his mercy, appealing for his favor to deliver us from this miserable condition. That's about all we have to do in this age. We don't have to become superman, perform super austerity. We simply have to depend upon Krishna's mercy, and the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead sees that. That we are simply responding to His instruction, He'll be happy. He'll think that, well, I told them to chant the holy name and they're chanting. They're recipients of my favor. They're the objects of my mercy. And when Krishna bestows his mercy, there is no end. There is no way to understand how wonderful that mercy is. That's why we find Mahaprabhu's associates have developed that attitude. Krishna's devotees are developing that. That let those who are concerned about studying the Vedas and performing those complicated rituals and sacrifices, let them do that. I simply have, all I care is simply to somehow receive the mercy of that wonderful son of Nanda Maharaj and that is the only goal of my life. I simply have taken shelter of Nanda Maharaj, on whose courtyard the Supreme Personality of Godhead is playing like a little child. That is our approach. That is our attitude. And that is how simple Krishna consciousness is. And that is the mercy that Srila Prabhupada has distributed all over the world. Don't worry about anything. Just depend upon Krishna. Everything will be alright. Yes, you may be sinful, but doesn't matter. Just take shelter of the holy name. The amount of sins one holy name can eradicate, no sinner has the ability to commit that much sin. Ek Krishna name jato paap hore kono papir shaddho nai tato paap hore. No sinner has the kono papi, no sinner has the ability to commit that much sin. So this is how powerful this holy name is. So our business is simply to take shelter of the Lord. I don't know anything, I don't understand anything, I'm not able to do anything. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
All I can do is Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare
Hare
Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
And finally, when the time comes, prana prayana samayi kapha vata pitto kantha varodhana vitho smarana mutasti. The ultimate time will be the time of death, prana prayana samayi. And that situation will be very, very difficult. We'll be gasping for air. We won't be able to gasp. We won't be able to breathe. Kanthava rodhana vidho. The throat will be choked. No nostrils will be choked by kapha vata pitto, by mucus, by we'll be choked. And in that situation, his prayer is, how can I remember you? Because our goal is to simply remember Krishna at that time. And at that time, if we can just remember Krishna through his holy name, we will see that personality who we've been waiting to meet all our life standing. What will be that situation like? At the time of leaving our body, when the soul is leaving the body, we see Krishna standing there. How wonderful it will be. Will that be a painful situation at that time? No. That will be the most wonderful situation. We are practicing, we are desiring, we are craving, we are hankering to see Krishna all our life. But at that time you will see him standing there and he will say, come to my abode. And that is how Krishna bestows his mercy, and that is how a devotee leaves his body. We must remember our main objective is to live. How we will be able. If we can leave our body in a proper way, our life is successful. The whole life is actually a preparation. And the time of death is the final exams. If you do well in your exams, what happens? All the effort, all the endeavor that you have put throughout the year is now complete. So all the endeavors that we are putting now through this preparation during our lifetime is actually to face that final moment, time of death. And Krishna is all merciful. Krishna is not just a judge with a full record, he's seeing how many wrong activities we have done, and he's standing there with a stick to beat us. No. Krishna is a loving father. He's waiting for us to go back to him. Those who are naughty children, yes, for them Krishna has made arrangements like Jamraj or Maya or other arrangements are there to punish them for their wrong activity. But those who have taken shelter of Krishna, Krishna is most merciful to them. Krishna is just waiting for them to come back to him, and Krishna simply wants that when they are here, they will simply be engaged in his devotional service. And when he sees that we are engaged in devotional service, he is so pleased. Now we may feel that we are not doing anything. We may feel that, oh, our spiritual life is useless, we're simply wasting our time, I'm not really developing. Many times devotees ask me, expressing their disappointment with the spiritual life. And my simple answer to them, don't worry. Krishna is all merciful. That you have accepted this process, Krishna will reward you the most. That is the wonderful gift that we have received from Srila Prabhupada. that is the most wonderful benediction that Prabhupada has bestowed upon us. And our prayer should be, if Srila Prabhupada didn't come, what would have happened? If Prabhupada didn't come, what would have happened to us? I don't know about you all, but one thing I know, that I wouldn't have come to Krishna consciousness if Prabhupada was not there, if Prabhupada didn't create his karma, if Prabhupada didn't send his devotees, to didn't deliver the living entities, we would suffer in this material nature. But now we have got the nectarian life of Krishna consciousness. There may be so many difficulties, there may be so many troubles, there may be so many distresses, but they all are just passing things. The wonderful thing is that we are on this very wonderful platform, wonderful spiritual platform. Prabhupada is there. He is watching us. When he sees that we are loyally serving him, Prabhupada will reward us. And at the same time, when Prabhupada sees that devotees are leaving, in spite of coming to ISKCON, they are leaving, they are going away. Prabhupada feels very sad about that. And Maya will come in so many different ways to take us away from Krishna. Sometimes Maya will come even in the guise of a devotee to take us away. Therefore, our implicit faith should be at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. That is the saving grace for us. No matter whatever happens, we are just going to hold on to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And Prabhupada's lotus feet means ISKCON. No matter whatever happens, we have to just hold on to ISKCON. We have to just remain in this platform. People will come, as you must have also have confronted this situation. So many people come and bad mouth ISKCON, say bad things about ISKCON's leadership, say ISKCON is dead. But we have to understand that ISKCON is not dead. ISKCON actually kept Krishna consciousness alive. So much so that just by taking the remnants of ISKCON, they are survived. If they at all they are flourishing, these people, those who are criticizing ISKCON, if at all they are flourishing, they are flourishing with the remnants of ISKCON. That reminds me of an incident that Badri Narayan Prabhu was telling once. It was during the Ratha Jatra in LA. Some people overheard some renegade ISKCON devotees was telling him, I'm telling some people, he just overheard that how ISKCON is dead. This is not ISKCON, this is dead. And Badri confronted him. He said, look, thousands of people, look at this queue, thousands of people standing, waiting to take some prasad. Thousands of people around that stage listening to Krishna conscious music, Krishna conscious lectures. Thousands of people had been pulling this chariot. Thousands of people had attending this procession. And even you are here. And you still think ISKCON is dead? Who did all this? Why? So many people are being inspired to develop, to become allured by Krishna consciousness. It's because of ISKCON. And this is the gift of Srila Prabhupada. No one can match it. Therefore, an intelligent person will line up. But a fool will try to compete. Those who try to compete with Srila Prabhupada or those will go away from Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, they will miss out the mercy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is displaying. So we must remember that our main concern should be how to maintain our Krishna consciousness, and we should never compromise that. And that is the main purpose, that is the main objective, and that is the mainstay of our spiritual security. So I'm very happy that I could come and be with you. Tomorrow I'll come again. Tomorrow is Sunday feast. I believe we are having the Panihati festival. What time the program is starting?
4:30 is the main art. Like the pots will be on the altar.
I'm sorry that I'm not able to give so much of my time and come here as frequently as I would have liked to. But I hope you understand. I've been asked to take it easy. And that's what I'm doing. I'm taking it very easy. I'm leading my life in a way that I never did before. I never had such a relaxed time. And thanks Guru Gauranga and Suchitra for that. And they're really taking care of me. And I'll be here for another maybe 5-6 days. Anyway, I'll come tomorrow. And thank you very much. I would have very much liked to stay through the whole night, but I won't risk it. Even to observe the Nijala Ekadasi was becoming a little difficult. But anyway, generally I fast on Ekadasi, but now that I'm taking medicine, last few Ekadasis, I haven't been fasting so much. But Nrisimha Chaturdashi day I fasted, but the next day I was a little sick. So Guru Gauranga was a little concerned and he was trying to persuade me to fast even if I wanted to. I thought it's just one day in a year. So I don't want to miss out on that. On a day like this, I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj very much. Like in 1987, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and us, we were in Vrindavan during Kartik, and we started the VIHE. Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Jayadeva Maharaj, Bodhijan Prabhu, we all were giving different courses. And so at that time we started this practice of staying up. Our program actually was to fast even from water, chant 64 rounds, stay up the whole night. And we are doing that, like many a times we be together. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, those of you who know him, know that when he got into something, he really got into it. He was really into observing each other's thing, that staying up all night, chanting, doing bhajan and kirtan. I miss him very much on days like this. And wherever we went, we would do that. When you're together, that was fun, great fun. But even if we are not together, wherever we went, we are observing and getting everybody into that also. Right. Those days I used to travel a lot. And wherever I went, I got the devotees to stay up the whole night. And then in the morning we used to break fast with milk. Just milk. We used to dilute the milk. Half milk, half water. Because pure milk could have been little too strong. Diluted milk with a lot of candy sugar or gur. That was fun. Another way to break out Ekadasi, Nirjala Ekadasi fast, is to take gur and powdered black paper, and mix it with water and drink it as well. I mean, actually, when you fast, whatever you get is most delicious. Appears to be most delicious. But that, I think, has in Vrindavan, the devotees, the Vrindavan, the Brajvasis, break their Ekadasi fast that more and black pepper powder, or the black pepper and water. I mean, a kind of drinks made out of that. So thank you very much. Does anybody have anything to say or any question or comment? Okay, then I'll take your leave. I'll see you again soon. Daruka, how are you? Oh, did you take Trivikram Maharaj's phone number?
Not yet. He's in Czechoslovakia. I sent him an email, so I'm waiting.
Okay. So he's in Pampo.
Yes.
He's in
Trivikram.swami@pampo.net.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jagat
Guru Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. Recording process. Okay.